When a pastor's mom visit in the Korean church, they introduce the mother. Catalyst is not a Korean church, but if I don't do it, I might get in trouble after the service. So I would like to introduce my mom. She's sitting in the back. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the passage, I'm doing kind of a series on the Holy Spirit, and the passage today is from last Sunday. It's the same passage, John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. It says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive." And God's people said, you know, last week, the sermon title was Living Water. And Jesus is describing in that context the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as rivers, okay? Rivers of living water flowing from within you. And I want to continue the topic of the Holy Spirit. And today's title is Baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? And today I want to focus on waiting. And with baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Another way of saying is being filled. You know, some people say it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say anointing of the Holy Spirit, and some even say empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you my personal view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second experience. Okay? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a second experience. Now, again, you know, my charismatic friends, you know, believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second experience. And what do I mean by that? You become a Christian, and then, you know, you're trying to live that Christian life, you know, but you're not baptized by the Holy Spirit yet. Okay? Later on, you have this second experience. You get hit with the Holy Spirit. Right? And many Christians, when you get hit many charismatic see once you get hit with the Holy Spirit, you start speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongue is a sign that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Right? Speaking in tongue is a sign that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, the problem with that is that view of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you start to see Christian as there's two classes of Christians. There's these two classes. Christian that's, they might see it as living this powerless life because they're not baptized yet. They didn't have that second experience yet. They're not baptized by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and it's shown because they don't speak in tongue. And there are those Christian, another class, they got hit with the Holy Spirit. They're baptized by the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongue. And so that's a sign that they're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, at Catalyst, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe, happens to all Christian at conversion. Okay? At conversion. When you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay? The Holy Spirit lives in you. But here's the thing. Like our relationship with our Heavenly Father, like our relationship with Jesus and the third person of Trinity, the Holy Spirit. But when you think about our relationship with the Heavenly Father, our relationship with the Son of God, Jesus, we can neglect it. Okay? We could rebel. And we could be apart from the Heavenly Father. We can be apart from Jesus. Likewise, same thing with the Holy Spirit. We can neglect that relationship. We could rebel, and we could be set apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, so that's why in the Bible it talks about when in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can quench the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it also says we as Christians, we could grieve the Holy Spirit, which is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Right? Now, second thing that I want us to know is baptism of the Holy Spirit does not always result in speaking in tongues. Okay? In speaking, and my Assembly of God pastor friends, they'll get very mad at me that I said this. They'll get so mad at me. Right? Baptism of the Holy Spirit does not always result in speaking in tongues. Right? And again, in the charismatic circle, and in the Assembly of God, speaking in tongue is the sign that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are example you see, especially in the book of Acts. I believe like there's five different places. And what they show in scriptures during Pentecost in the upper room. Now, Pentecost is very special because the Holy Spirit didn't hit the new church yet. They were believers, but it didn't hit the new church yet. This is the first time. So, you know, that has to be a first time. Right? And so at Pentecost, in the upper room, at Pentecost, it says the tongue of fire came upon all the believers. And everyone spoke in tongue. Everyone spoke in different language. Now, yes, I do see in Scripture. Scripture clearly show gift of tongue. Okay, that happened in Scripture when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongue. But when you look at Scripture, that's not the only sign when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke blessing to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, 2, again, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the result? He prophesied. In Acts 4, filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was powerful preaching of the gospel. In Acts 6, what happened? What was the sign? There was wisdom and Christian maturity and sound judgment. In Acts 4, 8, there was powerful preaching and testimony when on trial, and the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 7, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they saw a vision of heaven. In Acts 11, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, there was faith and maturity of life. Now, the Bible talks about Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Yes, it does. Remember, when he was baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and filled him. Right? But the Bible has no evidence that Jesus spoke in tongues. Okay? No evidence that Jesus spoke in tongues. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, preached with authority, and did miracles. Okay? And we need to understand this biblical teaching about the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Okay, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And these two passages is very important to understand. Jesus in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Here's Jesus. And this is what the Bible says. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus. Okay? And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, second passage, okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. Though Jesus was God, he is God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. Now, Jesus is God, okay? But Jesus had two natures through the incarnation. This is what Philippians 2 is talking about. Okay? Jesus is 100% God, But when he incarnated, when he became a human being, he's 100% God, but he's also 100% human being. Does that make sense to you? Do you guys understand that? When he was born as a baby, 100% divine, but also 100% human being. And when Jesus incarnated, Jesus was never without his divine nature. But the Bible says when Jesus incarnated, he didn't cling to his divinity. He gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position as a human being. So what Philippians 2 is talking about, Jesus didn't cease to be God. Jesus limited himself to access his divine power. That's what I believe is talking about in Philippians 2. And this is the reason when Jesus was born as a baby, Jesus is, again, he's God, so he's sinless. Only sinless baby that ever was born, okay? Jesus was sinless. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Okay? Wait. Think about this. What is the Bible talking about? How can God grow in wisdom? Doesn't God have all wisdom already? How come the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom? Well, when Jesus incarnated, when he became a human being, he didn't cling to his divinity. Jesus limited his godness and chose to live as a human being. And the Bible says he grew in stature. What does that mean? When Jesus was born as a baby, Jesus was totally helpless. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine Joseph and, you know, Mary? Jesus is born, he stands up, he's walking already. Hi, Joseph. Hi, Mary. No, that did not happen. Okay? That did not happen. He grew in stature. Okay? Jesus, as a baby, was totally helpless. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to read. Okay? How to read. That's why in Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, Jesus said, and I struggle with this passage. I didn't put it up there, but I struggle with this passage when I first read it. No one knows, Jesus talked about when he will return, okay? And he says this, no one will know about that hour, the day or hour, even not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of God. When I first read that, I go, Jesus is, you know, he didn't know when he will return. How could God not know something? That was my question when I first read that passage. How could God not know something? Because Jesus limited himself. He chose to live as a human being. And this is why it's so important for us to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, being God, chose to live as a human being. The question is, how did Jesus minister? Right? How did Jesus minister? Most of us think the source of Jesus' power was the fact that he is God. Okay? And I believe some passage, I feel like it just leaked out. His divinity will leak out, you know, like that woman, I just need to touch the cloak. And he go, hey, who touched me? You know, I just felt power leaking out. Right? It would happen. It happens. It happened, I believe. But the Bible goes into great length to show you that a lot of the miraculous ministry, the healing, seeing into people's heart, preaching, powerful prayer, resisting the devil, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? He did this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' birth comes through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, the angel said to Mary that the Holy Spirit will come on you, Mary, and the power of God would overshadow you. Okay? The birth of Jesus happened through the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And Jesus ministered, and we got to remember this, for 30 years, Jesus didn't do ministry. Nobody knew about him. He didn't do any miracles. You know that, right? for 30 years. And he waited. And then he went to John the Baptist. He was baptized. And when he rose, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Holy Spirit descended upon him in a body form like a dove in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And then what does it say right away? In chapter 4, verse 1, Luke chapter 4, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Jesus full of the Holy Spirit left the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, right? Where Jesus was tempted by the devil. It sounds like he overcame the devil through the power of the Holy Spirit. After the temptation in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee as he started the ministry. His first sermon in Luke 4, verse 16, was about how the Spirit, Holy Spirit, was upon him to set the captive free. Then we see what the new covenant power of the Holy Spirit will look like. Jesus casts out demons with a word, heals all who were brought to him, and teaches with authority that people had not heard before. And then when we look at the New Testament church, how it began, the same way in the book of Acts, the church is born through the baptism of the Holy Spirit descending upon them. Now we see the clearly, okay? You don't have to be a charismatic to see this. As a Christian, you see this clearly, the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to, but he chose to as a human. He lived this life as a human being, right? And he had to live the life as a human being. Why? To die for us. If God came in all his glory, okay, nobody could kill him. God in his glory. Everybody else dies when they look upon him. He couldn't die. And so Jesus depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. What is he doing then? He's modeling for us what a Christian human, what a Christian human being can do if they depend on the Holy Spirit. He could have done it himself in his own power, but he chose to show us what this Christian human being could do with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, the church depends on the power of the Holy Spirit. Our theme verse for Catalyst, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit, if the New Testament church depended on the Holy Spirit, how much more should we? How much more should we? Now today, I'll probably do a series on this, but today, the point that I want to make is, if you want to depend on the Holy Spirit, the importance of waiting, okay? The importance of waiting. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is after the resurrection, before he ascended, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And I believe the crucifixion, he would mention to his disciple again and again about the Holy Spirit. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And again, it's talking about the Pentecost the first time. But after that, once you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Right? The Holy Spirit lives in you. And it's talking, Jesus talked about waiting for the Holy Spirit. And here's the problem in the modern world. We don't know how to wait. You know, we can't stand a slow internet. I remember, like, what, 9, 10 years ago, I had AOL. the internet from AOL. DSL or whatever it was, right? No, it wasn't even DSL. It was a phone line, right? 30 minutes to download one picture. 30 minutes. Now it feels like takes three seconds. It's too long. It's too long. You know, people get upset waiting a few seconds at a traffic stop when the light turns green. Okay, New Jersey, right? You're in the front, light turns green. Wait 3 seconds, people will start honking. They'll start honking after 3 seconds. We get upset when someone don't immediately respond to our email or text. I frustrate a lot of people with that. You know, now that I'm addicted to coffee, you know, it's so hard. Very difficult to wait standing in a coffee shop line at 8 a.m. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And my family knows this. I can't wait in the traffic. I just can't wait in the traffic. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, waiting is key for the work of the Holy Spirit. It's key. It's very important. It's very important that you know how to wait. You know, and I'm learning this. You know, I'm trying to learn it. And more and more as I get older, I'm seeing the importance of waiting. Okay? I learned that with Alive Church, you know, planning the Alive Church, because you know, that was so key, learning how to wait. Learning how to wait. And you know, this church building, that was when God taught me this important first when we started Catalyst about waiting. About waiting. You know, many church pastors, many churches, you know, they can't wait when it comes to building project. They can't wait. And so what I saw, many church split because of church building project. Many leadership burned out because of the church project. Many members disillusioned because of the building project. Huh? But I waited. God was teaching me how to wait for this building. You know, for the owner to give us a big discount, I waited. When he said, you know, impossible. And God did it. I waited. I gave the information to the church. And I said to God, long as the whole church approve this. And guess, you know what happened when we got this, before we got this building? 100% approval. You guys have faith. You know, if it was other church, no way, this is too big. You know, we only have 40, 50 members at that time. And then, you know, Vineyard couldn't get the variance. They couldn't move out for 2 years, and we learned how to wait. But it was God, because I think if it took over 2 years before, we couldn't afford this place. I'm not sure. But we waited for God's timing. And because of that, you guys had a really good experience coming into this building. You didn't get burned out. I might have got a little burned out. You didn't get burned out. It wasn't stressful. It was a blessing. Do you know, to raise, I think, I forgot how much it was so long ago. Was it $100,000? $100,000 we were raised. Do you know, I only gave one message about that. You go to other churches, with building projects, every week God wants you to give more, because you got to give, sacrifice. Don't you know this is God? I had a dream about this building. Give, give. One message. Go back. Go back to those times. Right? Because we learned how to wait for the Holy Spirit. You know, you know, waiting though, okay, doesn't mean doing nothing though. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Okay. Isaiah 40, verse 31. This is a good passage to teach this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Look what they're doing. They're waiting. No, but they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, why are they running? Okay, why are they walking here? Because I believe in the context, the word wait in this passage implies an active, serving kind of waiting. Like, you know, for example, waiting on a table in a restaurant. Not sitting back and doing nothing until something happens. We see the 120 disciples in the upper room in the book of Acts. They were obedient to God's commandment. They stayed in Jerusalem and waited. But that didn't mean they didn't do anything. Peter, during that time, Peter rose up as the main leader, as a leader of that group. There was continuous teaching. They chose Matthias to take the place of Judas. They constantly met to pray. They fellowshiped and loved one another. They continued to walk in faith while they were waiting. And when you look at scripture, what the Bible teaches about waiting, Noah waited because God says in 120 years, there's going to be a flood. So he waited 120 years for the flood. But in the meantime, Noah devoted his time, I believe every day, his energy with his family to build an ark. He built an ark. So when the flood came, Noah and his family was ready for the flood. They were ready. They were prepared for the flood. Abraham waited for a child for many, many years. But waiting for Isaac to be born, you know what the Bible says? He grew his faith. It didn't become weaker while he waited. His faith became stronger and stronger and stronger. Joseph, think about Joseph, while in prison waiting for God's deliverance, you know what Joseph did while waiting in prison to be delivered? Joseph learned and became interpreter of dreams. That's what people knew him as. He became the interpreter of dreams. And this is crazy. You know why? What caused all the problem in his life is because he had a dream and he told that to his family. And they got upset and they beat him up, threw him in a ditch and sold him as a slave. But while he waited, he became the interpreter of dreams. It was his ability to interpret dreams that God used to free him from prison and become the second most powerful man in Egypt. David learned to build and lead an army while he was waiting in the wilderness, waiting to become the king of Israel. Apostle Paul, while he was waiting, learned to preach, learned to love the Gentile while he waited 10 years before he went on his first missionary trip. Now, the question that I have for you, my brothers and sisters, what are some of the things God is asking you to do while you wait? Okay? What is God asking you to do while you wait? Some are waiting for this powerful revival in New Jersey, right? In New York. Powerful revival in the world. My question to you, what are you doing to prepare yourself for that revival? What are you doing? Just ask yourself that. It's going to come. And as a church, what are you doing to hold this powerful revival of God? We think the most important thing is when the opportunity opens up. No. The period of waiting is just as important as the opportunity. Did you hear me? The period of waiting is just as important as the opportunity. The period of waiting is time for God to prepare you. You know, Jesus said the harvest is ready. That's what he said. But the workers are few, meaning the workers are not ready. You know, we got to prepare ourselves to hold the harvest. Jesus says the opportunity is already here, but the workers are not ready. I have seen people where opportunity came, and because they were not ready, they were not prepared, they squander God's opportunity. Long time, you know, when I was younger, there was a friend, very spiritual, you know, and she said, God called me to change Hollywood. That's what she said. God called me to change Hollywood. What a great vision. And when the opportunity came, Hollywood changed her. She didn't change Hollywood. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. King Saul was to wait for Samuel. Samuel, who's God's prophet and priest, to come and offer sacrifice to the Lord before the battle. Saul couldn't wait because of the pressure of people's opinion. Right? So Saul, who wasn't a priest, he offered a sacrifice instead because he couldn't wait for Samuel to come. Right? And Saul made the sacrifice. In other words, Saul offered this sacrifice, offered this worship, but it was illegitimate. It was illegitimate. He was moved by people's opinion, and he couldn't wait for the real movement of God. He couldn't wait for the real movement of God. And I see this, you know, again, as I was in the charismatic camp, and the weakness of the charismatic camp, I shared this with you, a lot of hype, so much hype, okay? And there's manipulation, and they try to force things to happen. I remember, okay, I might have shared this with you. You know, they said, let's pray for the gift of tongue, right? Let's pray for the gift of tongue. And it wasn't really happening, so, you know, the leader will go to, you know, people, okay, say hallelujah. And so go, hallelujah. Okay, say it again, hallelujah. Say it faster, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're speaking, you got the gift of tongue. It happened. You got the gift of tongue, praise God, and everybody's dancing, you know. To me, what a hype. So much forcing things to happen. And why do people force things to happen? Why do they hype it up when there's no healing? They say there's healing. Why do people do that? They don't know how to wait. They don't know how to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, my challenge to you, right? My challenge to you, what are some of the things that you can do to prepare while you wait? Okay? What are some of the things that you can do to prepare while you wait? I'm going to throw out some stuff. Maybe reconcile an important broken relationship. Maybe deal with your anger issue. Learn to overcome conflicts in your life. Love more. Walk out forgiveness. Walk out healing from your childhood issue. Overcome insecurities. Maybe grow in leadership. Maybe walk in greater purity and integrity. Walk in greater purity and integrity. Find your validation and comfort and approval in Christ, not the opposite sex, not through sex, drugs, or things that put you in bondage. Maybe break the soul tie with the unhealthy people in your life. Overcome an idol in your life. put the full armor of God. Learn to put on the full armor of God. Some of us, you know, I really think this when we go into, you know, think about a soldier running into a battle with underwear and t-shirts. I think that's what we do as Christians. Okay? Learn to put on the full armor of God. That's the reason we can't overcome. Work on your identity in Christ. Very important. Build your personal prayer life. Build your personal prayer life. I learned this from studying David. As a boy, he was anointed to become the future king of Israel. Samuel anointed him. You know what happened? Next day, his father made him go out and take care of sheep. You know, that's what happened next day. And he's waiting and waiting. He's taking care of sheep. You know what he did when he was taking care of sheep? He took out his lyre when nobody was looking in front of the sheep, and he will worship the Lord. Right? And this is where I believe authority was developed in David, spiritual authority. Because when he was in the palace, the Bible says the demonic spirit will attack King Saul. And you know what Saul will do? He would ask David to come and play his lyre. And when he played his lyre, as he worshiped the Lord, the demons will flee from Saul. From Saul. We think spiritual authority comes because you could play your guitar very well. We think spiritual authority comes because you have the talent to preach. That's not where the spiritual authority comes. It comes in the closet. Your connection, your personal relationship, your prayer life, your intimacy with the Lord. Amen? And so there are cracks right now in your heart. And that crack, the devil sees it. You might not see it. You need to identify it now, okay, before the opportunity. There are cracks. All of us have it. I have it. You have it. And the problem with the cracks in your heart is when the opportunity comes, the devil will shoot his arrow through the cracks and go, ah! Right? Spiritually, when God's opportunity comes. And the devil, when the God's opportunity comes into your life, the devil will use the cracks in your heart to steal, kill, and destroy. Church, do not let the devil do that to you. Amen? Let's prepare ourselves in the Lord. Okay, worship team, can you come up?